I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
The heroes present today remind us of an immortal truth. The future of our nation is secured through the vigilance of our people, the brave men and women who tore through the gates of hell to save the hurt and the wounded.
President Trump speaking today in honor of September 11th, 2001, 18 years ago, when we remember where we were, we remember what we were doing, and today we just remember on it, we think on it, and kind of take a moment where you let yourself be back on that day. It's kind of like a reset for the human soul to think about that day and how much unknown there was. So I encourage you to do that. You can walk down the memory lane, if you will, that Katie and I enjoyed and revered while we were in New York City this summer. I have about a 10-minute video that shows the walkthrough of the 9/11 Museum an infinity pool? Is that what they call it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Two of those stand where the towers used to stand, and you can just walk through. It's not narrated. You just get to see, and it's a pretty impactful video, and I encourage you to facebook.com/Annie Fry Show and watch it and comment on there, because there are lots of people who are sharing their stories or things that they remember or things that stuck out to them. And I think this video has encouraged people to reflect on that day. I'm going to read a comment here from Joseph. Said, I had this irrational thought over and over for a week that it'll all be okay when the fire goes out. For a solid week, it drove me insane that they couldn't get the fire out. When I turned on the car radio and the Cardinals were on and Jack and Mike were talking about Placido Polanco striking out, it finally made it feel like we were okay. I cried in the parking lot of the Madison QT. I think we all remember here in St. Louis specifically, Jack Buck reading that poem as we tried to get back to normal. And it's one of my favorite things to just kind of live in and dwell in when we reflect back on that day. So here's Jack Buck right after September 11th, 2001, and his famous poem.
Since this nation was founded under God, more than 200 years ago, we have been the bastion of freedom, the light that keeps the free world aglow. We do not covet the possessions of others. We are blessed with the bounty we share. We have rushed to help other nations, anything, anytime, anywhere. War is just not our nature. We won't start, but we will end the fight. If we are involved, we shall be resolved to protect what we know is right. We have been challenged by a cowardly foe who strikes and then hides from our view. With one voice, we say, we have no choice today. There is only one thing to do. Everyone is saying the same thing and praying that we end these senseless moments we are living. As our fathers did before, We shall win this unwanted war, and our children will enjoy the future we'll be giving.
Oh, to hear Jack Buck's voice again and to hear that poem again. I think it's a great reflection of where we were after that happened, when we still knew, we had way more questions than we had answers, and had to get back to doing the things that we do here as Americans. So Jack Buck, I wanted to make sure we got that played for you today. There's also other news going on today. It is another day. It is another news cycle. Let's get to the bottom of it.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
President Trump is had a meeting today about e-cigarettes in light of the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention's report that at least six people may have died from vaping-related illnesses. This is being reported by Fox News' John Roberts. The U.S. health officials are urging people to avoid e-cigarettes while the CDC investigates 450 cases of lung illnesses and six deaths that may be linked to chemical exposure while vaping. The president will hear proposals from staff. He could hear a proposal to ban e-cigarette flavors from store shelves, a regulation that the vaping industry's critics say would cut its product's appeal to teenagers. So the CDC, the president, taking the vaping stuff very seriously as more and more stories come out about people being hurt by those.
I've seen a lot of people also saying about the specific issue that a lot of these cases where people are being harmed in really bad ways, that maybe it's more of a black market vaping product that is being used that is causing this, as if there are people who I know who vape, and they're defending the industry. They're adults making decisions to do this, and they're saying that the products that people are consuming that are causing these illnesses, this is actually a way to make it more regulated in a way that it's more accessible in stores. The product is more regulated, and the black market stuff wouldn't be as readily available. So I'm very interested. It's not an industry that I know much about. I'm learning it in the headlines as it comes, but I think it'll be interesting to see when they get to the bottom of this, where the negativity is coming from. If it's all vaping, or if it's these people are trying to go around the system and they're getting some bad stuff.
Charges have now been dismissed against a newlywed husband whose wife was found dead in a parking garage in downtown in June. Bradley Jenkins had been charged with assaulting his wife following the death of his new wife, Alyssa Martin, in that parking garage following a baseball game. She was found dead at the bottom of the garage following a fall. Now, charging documents in the case against Jenkins include notes about a recording on Martin's cell phone where she's heard yelling at him to stop punching her in the face, and she could be heard screaming as she fell to the bottom of the garage as the cell phone kept recording.
Hmm. McDonald's said Tuesday it has agreed to acquire a company that is trying to automate the drive-thru. It's the fast food giant's third tech-focused deal this year. The AI company will use artificial intelligence to understand drive-thru orders, which could cut down on service times. McDonald's said the technology also could be used someday in its self-ordered kiosks or mobile app. The chain is also in the middle of renovating its U.S. stores with digital media boards, self-order kiosk, and other tech upgrades. The CEO, Steve Easterbrook, told analysts on the second quarter conference call that the kiosks have been generating higher average checks in the U.S. Financial terms of the deal were not disclosed.
At a ballpark where a lot of runs were scored, the Cardinals scored just once and lost to the Rockies 2-1 in Denver. Trailing 2-1, the Birds couldn't capitalize on a bases-loaded situation with one out in the top of the fifth. Matt Carpenter popped out to shortstop, and Dexter Fowler grounded out to first base to end that threat. The Birds remained four games in front of Chicago, though, in the NL Central, thanks to the San Diego Padres, who came up with a 9-8 win over the Cubs last night. Now, here at home, Busch Stadium played host to a soccer match as the U.S. hosted Uruguay in an international friendly. They played to a 1-1 tie. St. Louis's Josh Sargent and Tim Ream got the start for the USA squad.
Did you hear the Milwaukee Brewers' Christian Yelich news? Fractured kneecap.
He fouled a ball off of his knee.
Yeah, he did it to himself.
Oh,
just painful. Just think about how much that would hurt to hit a ball off your kneecap to the point where you fracture it. Wait, don't go away, Frank. Okay. I'm not done with you.
All right.
How far does your cord let you travel in this place?
I could probably walk all the way around to Katie.
I think you and Tony should share this microphone. I think it's like a team building activity.
Too close for comfort.
Mm-hmm. September 11th.
Tony still likes to hug dudes.
He does. I would always play that for you. I'll play it for you next week.
That'll never go away.
Where were you? September 11th. What's your story?
I was on the beach.
Yeah? Pontoon Beach?
From radio.
Oh, yeah.
I was out of work.
Yeah.
In between a radio gig, so I was at home.
What'd you do?
Got a phone call from my mom. Hey, you gotta turn on the TV. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sat and watched it all day on TV.
Yeah.
Because I had nowhere to be.
Yeah.
Nothing to do.
It's like, okay, should I leave that? What should I go do? So I watched the coverage all day on TV.
Yeah. I felt like there was this sense of urgency to, at least in my circles, I felt like people wanted to do something, but there was nothing to do.
Right. And it was like, okay, I could go, but where would I go? Places were like closing, you know, there were reports of things closing. Everything on the radio and TV was sort of engrossing enough to where it was like,
you couldn't take your eyes
off
it.
I'm not going to learn anything by going outside.
Yeah.
By walking down the street. I'm going to learn more by sitting here nestled in my house and watching it and figuring out, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
Which is a weird feeling because, like you said, it feels like you could do something. But I didn't know what to do.
At the same time, being helpless.
Yeah, it was 20 years ago. How do you know what to do when you don't have... All you had to follow the story was the TV or radio. You didn't have the instant communication of your cell phone. I didn't know anybody in New York or Washington, D.C. at that time. So it's not like it was a, wow, are they okay?
Waiting to hear a specific person's
voice. Yeah, it was, So from a how it affected me standpoint, it affected me because I watched it all on TV and watched it all unfold.
Mm-hmm.
I started watching after the first tower was hit, before the second tower, before the Pennsylvania, before the Washington, D.C. So it's like all this unfolded for me on live TV.
Yeah. It's like if your jaw could get dropped any further as the day goes on. I mean, I remember it just felt like a punch in the gut. And when I was in school, you know, the teacher said that we could potentially expect attacks throughout the day. Then it happened. And you didn't know. I mean, how long did it take for us to let our guard down just a little bit about waiting for the next thing to happen? I mean, I would say in some cases, we're still that way.
Sure. You look at how we go into and out of airports. You look how we go into and out of sporting events. You look at how we deal with travel throughout this country, throughout the world. You're still waiting for that next thing, next potential thing.
And on September 10th of 2001, it wasn't even in a possibility in my head that something like that could happen here.
No, because it's completely out of the realm of, you know, this is something that has ever been done before. It was so new and so unique and so horrifying that your mind wasn't able to get to that point to come up with that thought to think, oh, wow, 3,000 people could die in just a short amount of time like that.
It was crazy, Annie. I remember you saying this just a little bit ago, how the word terrorist or terrorism wasn't something that you would ever dream about learning.
I didn't know what it was. It sounded like something out of a movie.
Mm-hmm. Prior terrorist acts are... They're going to commandeer the plane and they're going to fly it somewhere and they're going to land it and they're going to hold people for hostage.
It's not the weapon.
That was how terror changed, because the people were just collateral damage at this point.
Yeah. Important to remember what took place 18 years ago, and important to reflect on how we can use those memories to try to make it a better place to be today. So very grateful that you are here listening with us today. I'm excited for our next guest. Captain at the St. Louis Fire Department. Leon Whitener is going to join us. And I'm first and foremost going to thank him for being a firefighter. I can't imagine having to deal with some of the things that these firefighters have to deal with on a regular basis. And a great amount of bravery, but important to recognize them in the efforts that they make every day. Not in those significant circumstances that took place 18 years ago, but they're going into fire as a profession. So we wanted to take the opportunity to speak to a firefighter today. So we'll be speaking with Captain Leon Whitener when we return. Don't go anywhere.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. A pleasure to have you along with us as we reflect on September 11th, 18 years ago, that day that sticks pretty clearly in our minds. And just looking at a lot of the stories that people have and to tell and as they reflect as well. So we appreciate you being along with us. We're going to get to a guest here in just a second. It's important to think about all of the people who are involved in not just, you know, being in the buildings themselves, but the people, the support people, the aftermath of recovering from some sort of tragedy like this. So we do want to just share an ongoing bit of gratitude to those first responders, to law enforcement, to the firefighters, and to all of the people who support them at home, send them off into the job, to the workplace, which could be anything, anywhere. Just loads of gratitude. And that should be said every day, not just on a day like today. We wanted to get a firefighter on today to talk about the memory of the day, the importance of this day. So we're very honored to have St. Louis Fire Department Captain Leon Whitener join us right now. Leon, thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Absolutely. So you're a firefighter, and I would assume, I don't want to be too presumptuous, that September 11th strikes a little bit deeper for firefighters and first responders and law enforcement families around the entire country. Leon, what's your memory? How do you spend September 11th reflecting on that day 18 years ago?
Well, I'll tell you, first let me tell you what happened that day. We were actually working that day. I was in the firehouse. And when we saw the attacks on television, we knew that firefighters were going to die that day. And as we sat around the kitchen table talking about it, we talked about what we would be doing at that incident. And our actions would have mirrored the actions of the members of the New York City Fire Department that responded that day. And we realized that we ourselves would have died that day as well, doing what we were trained to do and doing what we do on a daily basis. So for me, you know, my reflection, I really spent a lot of quiet time reflecting on that day, September 11th, 2001. And I just, my heart goes out to the families that lost their loved ones. I scan through pictures and I look at the faces of the firefighters that were lost that day. And it's a very somber moment for me.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if you heard this as we were speaking about it previously, but my producer Katie and I went to New York City this summer, and we had the opportunity to go through the memorial there at Ground Zero. And I have to say that the images that are there, that are just regular people who were regular people the day before, and they're right, probably regular people today, but those facial right, expressions and in the moment is a really striking thing. What is it like to go to work every day? You know, lots of people go to work every day, but you leave your family behind, you go fight fire, you go take care of situations that are tenuous situations, you put yourself in that position. What does it take to leave home, to go to work and do that every day, knowing that there are people waiting for you when you come back at the end of the workday?
Well, yeah, you know, that's the challenges that first responders all around this country face every day when they leave their homes, whether they're, you know, firefighters or police officers. There is that unknown whether or not we will return. And that's why you have to be very intentional as a first responder. I know that I am, and I know a lot of my colleagues are, about, you know, hugging your children a little more, spending a little more time with your wife, and being intentional about letting your family know that you care, because there is that, you know, there's that uncertainty as to whether or not we will return home.
Yeah, I think that's why it's important for everybody to take a moment and be grateful for the people willing to make that sacrifice, because you're not doing this for accolades. You're doing things on a regular basis that, you know, you go, you help people, and then you may never see those people that you help again. What can communities do any day, not just on September 11th, but what can communities do to help support their first responders, their firefighters, the law enforcement people, to help them be able to do their job better, or to just, you know, in generally support them through community?
You know what? I'll tell you this. St. Louis is an amazing place. we get all the support that we need every day on the streets, in the grocery stores. It doesn't matter where we go. And I can speak for myself in particularly when I'm in uniform, I can't tell you the number of people that tell me, you know, thank you for your service. We appreciate you. And that in itself is just a huge bonus, you know, being a first responder, knowing that people appreciate the sacrifices that you make every day.
Well, Leon, it is an honor to talk to you today, and we wanted to make sure that we had at least one representative from the fire department here in St. Louis that could come on and acknowledge the whole department through our conversation with you. So as we reflect on that day 18 years ago, grateful for the opportunity to speak with you.
Absolutely. Like I said, thank you for having me on. Let's remember, on that day, there were almost 3,000 lives lost. 343 firefighters lost their lives that day. Because of just a horrible act of terror on American soil. So just if you see a first responder in the grocery store, on the street, just take a moment to let them know that you appreciate them. Because, like I say, we deal with a lot of stresses, more and more mental illness, not mental illness, but I'm sorry, post-traumatic stress disorders being more prevalent amongst first responders. The suicide rate amongst first responders is 20 times that of the national average, because of the things that we see and the things that we deal with every day.
Wow. Well, it is an honor to speak with you today. And please pass on our sentiments here from the Annie Fry Show to all those coworkers that you have today. How grateful we are for your service and sacrifice.
We will, Annie. Thank you very much for having me. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. That's Captain Leon Whitener with the St. Louis Fire Department. He's a captain there. And just kind of important to remember that, you know, a firefighter in New York City was a firefighter in New York City before this happened, and they've been kind of made into a legendary status, as they should be, for what so many of them did. 343 that he just said there lost their lives. I would imagine that probably doesn't include the people who were affected after the fact. We've seen John Stewart fighting very much to make sure that the compensation is there for the people who have had burdened sicknesses and illnesses since then for what they inhaled in the process of going into this. And so it's just important to say those simple thank yous to the people who are going to work every day with the understanding that if September 11th happened today, on this September 11th, those people are sitting around that table in their fire departments and they are saying, what do we do? How do we do this? How would we handle this? That's what they go to work for. It's just a crazy thing. I think about nurses, too. Doctors, like the hospitals, the people who would have had to been in triage that day, and just the mental blow that it would take to have to deal with everything that was coming at you.
The trauma, the injuries, it's just overwhelming.
Do you remember the story that was told to us when we were on this tour at the 9/11 Memorial about the classroom that was downwind? From the, I guess, the smoke that just kept billowing for a long time. And I can't remember specifically the numbers details, but basically there was this classroom of kids, and these kids have grown up and they're sick now. And they're affected because the consistent thing among all of them is that they were downwind from this debris that was being thrown into the air in New York City. One of the other things that I did not know about Manhattan and New York City in the wake of the September 11th attacks, which I just thought was the most BA thing for the United States to do, is they took the debris and the wreckage. Where did they put it? You know what they did? They made Manhattan bigger.
Mm-hmm. They expanded.
That's so amazing to think that they took all of this debris that existed, this just piles and heaps of debris, and they put it in the Hudson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they made more land. Manhattan grew. Manhattan got bigger, and it got as tall as it was before when they rebuilt the World Trade Center that is there. And I think that's American resolve. That's a pretty amazing story that I don't know if that was told and I just missed it.
I don't remember hearing that story other than when we just took that visit to New York City.
Yeah.
I don't remember that story.
And, you know, we didn't realize this, but Katie and my husband and I had been walking around this park in this really beautiful part of Manhattan. Like, you could tell it was upscale. We were walking around, we're like, Let's get on realtor.com and see how much these apartments
how much
go
is
for.
All this?
A little out of our collective
They're
price
expensive.
Range.
Expensive.
But it's beautiful.
Beautiful, yes.
That was the new land. We didn't realize this when we were there and taking it in and looking out at the Hudson. And, you know, we looked to, when we were looking out, you look to your left and the Statue of Liberty is right there. She is right there.
And she is beautiful.
Yeah. Katie.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Katie loves the Statue of Liberty.
Love me some Statue of Liberty.
But you can see in the video that we have up at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow, you can see our walkthrough of the 9/11 Memorial. And you can see from the tour that we took out on the Hudson, a video that includes the Statue of Liberty, and it also includes the landscape that is there now. And from where we were looking at it, part of Manhattan was extended into the Hudson. You want to come and talk? You want to come and attack? You want to come tear down our buildings? We're going to build bigger, and we're going to build better, and we're going to keep doing what it is that we do. Battery Park, that's where it was.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a really amazing story. Tiffany, thanks for calling the show.
Yes, Annie. September 11th is my proudest and saddest day of military wifeness. My son was 3. My twins were 11 months old, and this had been on the books for a month for my husband to reenlist on this day. And as we woke up, I thought I had a dream because we woke up as the first plane hit. I thought it was a dream. We soon realized very quickly that it wasn't, and we got our kids ready. We went to his enlistment, and they said, "You know what this means?" And he's like, "Yeah, reenlist me." And as the second Trade Tower fell, my husband said, "I do to the Army that day."
Wow.
Tuesday, and we both knew. I distinctly remember, as we were walking out, I'm like, "I'm going to miss you when you go to war."
Wow, Tiffany.
And he's just like, "I'm going to miss you too." And he did serve his tour. He's retired now, but September 11th is just, it's a whole big bag mix of emotions for me because I hurt for the families who lost there, but it's just so much pride in it for my husband to realize that he couldn't gotten out of the Army that day knowing he was going to go to war.
Tiffany, that's a fantastic story, and I'm glad that you shared that in the same opportunity, the same segment here that we got to speak to one of the firefighters here locally, because those are two local people who are serving their country and have a story that is attached to September 11th, and that is such an amazing one. We're grateful you shared it with us today.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I love sharing my September 11th story because it puts it in a different perspective, because the next day was my son's birthday. So an awesome funny story about it was a year later, people were outside on corners waving their flags to show this pride, and my son was convinced everybody was out for his birthday.
Oh, well, you know what? That probably made him love America even more. Tiffany, thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I appreciate that. As I said, I was 17 when the plane struck, and I was a senior in high school, and some of my friends had turned 18 that were my class. I had friends who were at 18 already, and dear friends of mine who signed up right after that happened. And, you know, you sign up for the Army on September 10th, 2011, and you are an amazing person, and I'm so proud of you, and that's fantastic. And you sign up on September 12th, and same thing goes. You're an amazing person, but the wherewithal that these individuals had, like Tiffany's husband, like my friend Aaron and Eric and Joanna and just so many other people who I knew who were maybe going to do other things in life, or maybe they always knew that they wanted to serve their country. So they either changed their mind and wanted to join, or when things got real, they doubled down and they served. A lot of those people are still serving, and they're millennials. So just remember that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I can take some more phone calls. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Great to hear Tiffany's story. What's yours? Give us a call. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
President George W. Bush, who was in Florida, learned of the second crash from his chief of staff. The president delivered brief remarks to the nation moments later.
Today, we've had a national tragedy.
Bush was rushed from an elementary school to Air Force One. Graf says once airborne, chaos turned into confusion.
The president was cut off from while he was up in the air. You know, there was no cable TV, no satellite TV. There was no email aboard the plane. And so the president is watching 9/11 unfold from Air Force One on rabbit ears antennas.
Back in Washington, another tragedy as hijacked American Airlines Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon at 9:37. Years later, former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld recounted what he saw as he evacuated.
This plane had impacted the Pentagon at 500 miles an hour, filled with jet fuel, and the place was burning, and people were streaming out, trying to save themselves.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy to be with you today. I have to say, when it's getting near the September 11th time and all the documentaries and everything start coming up on all the channels, I want to watch all of them. Like, just back to back to back to back. I want to hunker down and I want to watch them. My kids are 9, 7, and 3. It's almost like I either feel like I have an obligation to sit down and watch it with them, but then at the same time, I mean, they're children. And I feel like, you know, Katie, you were 8. What you knew at the time, what did you need to know?
Right. I mean, honestly, 8 years old and then going on 9, it's kind of better to be ignorant in that sense and be blissful and still be a kid and not have to worry.
Yeah. You don't get to, once that innocence is stripped away, it's gone. I definitely feel that on a daily basis with my 9-year-old son. It's like, he'll ask a question about something that I know that he's seen on a TV. You know, I'm going to tell you this, folks. TV commercials are too grown up for kids to be sitting in a room. There are some commercials that I'm like, well, I guess we've got to talk about that now. But you hear stuff at school. He reads. He loves to read. And maybe there will be a word or something that he'll ask about that kind of involves more description than I expected. But he's 9 and he can know that. It's good that he's reading. So just kind of one of those struggles as a mother to take events like this and make sure that my children understand the reverence that is behind it. But also, you have the privilege of being 9.
Mm-hmm.
Or 7 or 3.
And being in your own world. I think that's very important because when you're that young, you don't understand if it's not right in front of you, you don't understand what's happening thousands of miles away.
Yeah. I don't think that I really understood it until we went this summer, like in the capacity that I did. So every day or every September 11th, we know that they read the names of the victims. I think it's a fantastic thing that they do that so that they are never forgotten. Well, this happened today, and this is somebody reading out his victim's son's name. Listen to what he has to say.
Listen, some people did something. I am here today to honor my 76-year-old mother, Frances, on the solemn 18th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Mom, we all miss you and love you very much. This day I also remember over 200 personal friends and coworkers that I knew that died. I remember them all and pray with you for them today. Some people did something, said a freshman congresswoman from Minnesota, to support and justify the creation of CARE. Today I am here to respond to you exactly who did what to whom. Madam, objectively speaking, we know who and what was done. There is no uncertainty about that. Why your confusion?
Wow. That's really something.
He wore a shirt that said that. I mean, it was
I'm
really
looking at it right now. Okay. It says some people did something question mark. What do you think Representative we don't know what she thinks when she hears something like that. But to have somebody like that have to come and say that at that moment, I mean, I don't know how many people were present, but you can hear applause, reaction from the, I think it's pretty brave of him to do that. He's one of the few people who can say that with the weight that carries.
Mm-hmm. For all of the people that believed what she said was not a big deal, listen to that clip and tell me otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. If you go to facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, you can see the video that shows the trip that we took this summer to the 9/11 Memorial. We were in New York City and we documented our walk through the 9/11 Memorial. And you can watch it, and it's pretty cool. I don't, Tony, you haven't seen the video yet, have you?
Mm-mm.
You
have to see been there.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
When did you go? Mm.
4 or 5 years ago when we were...
Did you take the tour?
The museum was just about to open when we were there, so we didn't get to go through the museum, but we were at the waterfalls, the pools, mm-hmm. whatever they're called. We walked through the grounds. There was some of that stuff set up, but it wasn't completely complete.
Do you remember it being quiet?
No, I don't remember it being quiet.
It was interesting when we were there in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the day, in a bustling city where it's just, I mean, if you've never been in New York City, like we had never been in New York City, the sheer amount of people that are always just out and about moving around it's kind of amazing to see. And certainly at the memorial, there were people all over as well, but it was peaceful.
That was the only peaceful place in New York City for the 4 days that we were there. That was the first place that I feel like once you entered, and the tour guides tell you, like, we're here to think about what happened. Some people are even here to mourn and to grieve and to learn about maybe an experience of a loved one that they know, someone that went through this. So if you can, just make sure you keep that in your mind while as you're going through this memorial. You could hear a pin drop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so silent.
There's this part in the video that you can see on our Facebook page where when you're looking at the infinity pools, it's got waterfalls coming in from each side. It's a square. But I was struck by the corners of these waterfalls. The waterfalls like went past each other on the corners and they created the shape of a cross. I don't think that was intentional. I don't think there's some religious undertone to it, but I saw it and I put that in the video as well. But just to know how much dedication has been put into preserving this memory for people, I think is really important. We've talked about some other news stories today for sure, and the suggestion was made by, I've seen it online several times, but the National Security Advisor position that John Bolton has vacated one way or another, people are suggesting Condoleezza Rice do it. She was asked about it.
You may or may not know the president tweeted about you just last night. He was watching an interview you did on Fox News. He called it excellent, very interesting and secure perspective on life, he said of you. Well, that, of course, got people thinking, would you want to be the national security advisor in this administration?
Oh, thank you. I've done that job. And I think I won't try to catch a lightning in a bottle again. No, he'll find someone who suits his style. And he'll find someone, I hope, who can bring the security team together, because you really have to have the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, National Security Advisor, Secretary of the Treasury, pulling in the same direction.
Any reason to think you're being considered for that?
No
approach from the White House?
Certainly not. Okay. No.
Condoleezza Rice, I think, is a national treasure. There is something about her that is so admirable and collected. Does she run the NFL now or something? She's always been very invested in the NFL. I always remember people trying to get her in with the St. Louis Rams. Man, we lost them. More to come in just a moment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.